Like your must-watch list, our network is all over the place. Because T-Mobile helps keep you connected, from big cities to your hometown, on America's largest 5G network. Switch now, keep your phone, and T-Mobile will pay it off up to $800 per line via prepaid card. Visit your local T-Mobile location, or learn more at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch. Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service port in 90 plus days. Device ineligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
To everyone who loves the taste of tradition, come enjoy a classic Wisconsin fish fry at Culver's.
I'm Genesis from Culver's in Claremont, Florida. And here, family fish fry is a part of who we are. We've been serving up fish fry favorites for over 40 years, all thanks to the Culver Family Roots and Wisconsin Supper Clubs, the place where the fish fry was perfected. If you're craving something crispy on the outside and flaky on the inside, you've got to try our hand-battered North Atlantic cod. It's perfectly seasoned and my personal favorite. Or if you're in the mood for a little extra crunch, our lightly breaded butterfly jumbo shrimp hits the spot every time. Whatever you order, I promise it will be made with love by a team who cares, because we want every guest to feel like family. That's just how we do it in Wisconsin. Dive into delicious with all your fish fry favorites at Culver's.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to delicious.
Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act One, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act Two to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, 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 hello. Welcome in to the Eric St. Show podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the Impact Power Sports Studio. Impact Power Sports online at impactpowersportsmi.com. You can also find them along 14 Mile Road in Rockford, Michigan. God, I have got to get outside and get some sunlight on my face. I look ill. First of all, it looks like I've been weeping. That's the first thing I thought today when I clicked on the videos to say, all right, let's see how I look. You know, whatever, getting the thing set up. And I go, oh, my God, what a ugly fuck. Horrible. And my eyes are all puffy as usual and stupid. And they have kind of like a shine to them that makes it seem like I've either been weeping or I've got AIDS. And my face is just pale. It's just pale. When I'm, like anybody. You're away from the sun for long enough, and you start to look like shit. There is nothing better than a little color to the face. Not too much. You don't want to look like Trump or that shit. But I got to get out and get some sun. And I've got, if you notice, you can't see this obviously in the audio podcast, this stupid zit. This ridiculous chancre on the side of my nose. Oh, God. Okay. So welcome in. I have a very, very big issue with low self-esteem today, but we will get through it. Otherwise, I feel fine, feel good. So glad you are here. Anyway, before I get ahead of myself, a little bit more about my key studio sponsor, my one and only studio sponsor, that would be Impact Power Sports. When you go to their website, you can shop for ATVs, UTVs, four-wheelers, two-wheelers, you know how it is, one-wheelers, six-wheelers, scooters, e-bikes, go-karts, a Yamaha golf cart, an EasyGo golf cart. They have all of those amazing brands. Whatever you need, they can get you. They've got a fully staffed service department. If you already have gear or equipment that you want worked on, they can take care of that for you or to maintain any of what you purchase from them. They're along 14 Mile Road in Rockford, Michigan. Our good friends over at Impact Power Sports online at impactpowersportsmi.com. Okay, we got a lot of ground to cover today. And I think I was up in the air about what I wanted to start with, but I think I'm going to start with the paper smash story because it needs to be updated. Okay, I had been sitting on this piece of material for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, when our good friends over at Free Beer and Hot Wings decided to pull the old stick it to him by not saying his name, trick, forgetting to say his name trick on the Hot Rockin' Free Beer and Hot Wings morning show concerning a story involving EZ. That is a fun way, I guess, to let EZ know that he's a huge pile of shit. Hell, we're going to say Joe's name, who allegedly beat the shit out of women, instead of saying EZ, which actually says a lot, you know. I mean, that means I have really worked hard to be in the bad graces that I am with my former coworkers. And that makes me happy. Very, very happy. And I posted it to Facebook. And I said, okay, this is, and I even had a little, I wrote a little thing by it. In fact, let me just share it and check it out here. I wrote, oh, this is cute. The old stick it to him by acting like we forgot his name trick. The least you could have done was get the story right. And so let's play this. And it's important to note that the most important part of this story was forgotten. Idiot Freebeer forgot the most critical detail of this fucking story. Why? Because he sucks. That's why. So here you go. There isn't a story that exists that Freebeer can't tell in a fucked up way. One of the worst storytellers that exists, made only worse than, or I should say the only ones worse would be the other members on that show. The only person on that show that can tell a story, in my opinion, is Kelly, frankly. The rest are just idiots and cannot get out of their own way. So let us get into this moment right here when Greg explains the paper smash incident. And it started out when Greg was bagging on himself, for he got mad at Joe because Joe did this paper smash to him. And that is, you got papers in your hands, somebody walks by, knock it out of your hands. He invented the game because I guess he did it when he was a kid. So he started doing it to everybody in the fucking building, and then people started doing it back to him. And then he went and cleared Joe's desk off. So in this clip, he's kind of like, I still can't believe I did that. I was so embarrassed with my behavior. He's kind of like, you know, admitting the fault. But then Hot Wings brings up a moment that happened that I did paper smash to someone. But, and then after I play this, I'll tell you the key element in the story that these idiots fucked up.
Yeah, paper smash was in of itself a whole host of problems.
Yeah, hard to believe it worked out poorly in the end, something that was so irritating.
Yeah.
By the way, if you ever watch the show, the, what do you call it? The little girl here, Maitland, she never stops moving her legs. She, like, it has this disability where she can't stop fucking kicking her fucking legs. It's so annoying.
Yeah, hard to believe it worked out poorly in the end, something that was so irritating.
Yeah. Like when somebody did it to Bruce and
oh, God. Yes, that should have ended it. So Bruce had found out that his brother had like a terminal disease and had just told.
Okay, that part's correct.
Bruce was a coworker.
Yeah, he had just told someone else.
He
used to work here 15 years ago, 20
so
years ago.
Everybody knew about it except the person who paper smashed him 5 minutes later. So now a guy who just found out his brother, who had never played paper smash. So it was just somebody bullying him.
Yeah, he.
Somebody wrote bullying. Oh, my God.
Wasn't involved.
And now he's bent over picking up papers in the hallway with tears in his eyes.
Yeah, he's like, why would you do that?
That sucks. Terrible timing.
That wasn't me.
And it wasn't me either.
Yeah.
Nope.
Wasn't Steve.
Nope.
Nope. Wasn't Kelly.
No.
Was it you, Maitland?
Wasn't me.
Was it Joe?
I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
Was it Justin?
Nope.
No, Paper Smash was pre-Justin.
Also, in addition to me pointing out about Maitland kicking her leg, Greg has this other tendency that you'll see here. See how he has a piece of paper in front of him? It's one piece of paper. You know how, like, you get a bunch of pieces of paper and you'll shuffle them? He has one piece of paper. He will shuffle one piece of paper regularly.
Justin?
Nope.
No, Paper Smash was pre-Justin.
Oh.
Hard to tell.
Yeah.
All right. So, posted that. And you all had a lot of fun with that. A lot of fun comments. There was a couple people that were like, I used to think you were funny, but now you're just a bitch. I can't take it anymore. Oh, my God. So, if you want to add to that. But it was Nick who wrote, holy, this story is curb level of awkward. We need a proper retelling of this. Because I had written on here, the least you could have done was get the story right. Not only was poor Bruce grieving at the recent news of his ailing loved one, but the piece of paper in his hand was to promote a fundraiser for him and his financially strapped family. Okay, now that makes this a billion times more devastating. Oh, shit. Corey says, Eric is more controversial than Joe the woman beater. Allegedly, Corey. Allegedly. By the way, we're 62% to a hype train. Will we get to one? Oh, my God. I'm so excited. What does that mean? Nothing. Molly says, will you guys ban me if I started listening to Free Beer and Hot Wings? Fuck no, I want you to. Listen to that shit and then report back to me at shit that you know is shitty. That's what I encourage everybody to do. Okay, so let me back up. Fucking, I walk out of the studio and I see at the end of the hall by Phil Catlett's office, Greg and this dude, Bruce, who is salt of the earth, sweet as peaches, nicest guy in the world. Legendary newsman, Bruce Parrott, which Bruce, by the way, I don't know if you know, I know you don't know this, but Bruce and I are friends on Facebook. Bruce has a picture because he's a gigantic Johnny Cash fan. Bruce has a picture of when he was probably 25 years old backstage at DeVos Place in Grand Rapids of him and Johnny Cash. Bruce has a huge palette of music, and country music is one of his favorites. He used to work for the country station, WCUZ. And one day backstage, Bruce got backstage at a Johnny Cash show. And this is a true story. Bruce chronicles it in his on this Facebook post underneath the picture. He had said to Johnny Cash, hey, there's a song written by so-and-so, so-and-so, and performed. I forget who it was, but I think you would sound great doing that song, which is quite common for country artists to perform other people's songs. And Johnny Cash said, really? He goes, huh, yeah, I really think that song is made for you. Lo and behold, Johnny Cash did record that song and actually mentioned Bruce, like in the writing credits, or he mentioned it, and he even mentioned it on stage one point. The next time he came to Grand Rapids, he said, where's Bruce? Bruce is the one who got me to perform this song. And he even performed the song, Johnny Cash did, with the original maker of the song. I know I'm getting about 10% of the details right on this, but just a pretty cool story about Bruce. So anyway, Bruce is at the hall, at the end of the hall, and he's with Free Beer, and he's got this. He had printed off this thing, spaghetti and meatball dinner to raise money. This is before GoFundMe for the so-and-so family. It was Bruce's, it might have been his brother. I'm not entirely sure. I don't recall. I think it was his brother. But anyway, he wanted Greg to mention it on the air. And Greg was gracious enough to do it. He's like, well, of course I will. So I don't know this. I have no idea this is going on. I don't know Bruce's brother is ill. I don't know that this is a note for a fundraiser. I have no idea. And this is what Moron did not include in the story. He just made it seem like, Bruce had the blues and Eric knocked the paper out of his hand. He's a fucking idiot. He's handing this thing that says, please help. Come to the spaghetti dinner to help raise money for medical bills for my brother's family, please. And Greg's going to read it on the air. It's going to be a great moment. Everyone's going to cry. And all of a sudden, just as he's handing it to him, smack the shit out of the paper. It just goes floating down like a feather down onto the floor. And then before it hits the ground, you hear. And I'm like, what was that? And I look, and Bruce is crying in his weakened state from this horrible news. It put him over the edge. And Greg is mortified. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you. Uh-oh. Something happened. So, and now Bruce does the news 95.7. And so he's seconds away from them cracking the mic and saying, now it's time for the news with Bruce. And he's like, top story. There's a wreck on the S-curve. Oh, my God. Oh, it was horrible. It was so bad. So I have, you know, I kind of sense there was a problem. I come back into the studio and Greg goes, uh-oh, you did it, man. I go, what do you mean I did it? What the fuck are you talking about? And he goes, that was, and he gives me the info. That was a fundraiser document for Bruce's sick brother, you fuck. I'm like, oh my God, Jesus Christ, what are we going to do? Holy shit. He goes, you got to go and say sorry. No, fuck you, I'm not doing it. So I open up the door and I peek in there and there's Bruce. He's sitting there like this and his hands on his face. And I'm like, fuck this. I'm not saying shit. At least I don't remember saying shit. But that was it. So what idiot said in that story, it was a billion times worse when you actually got the details right. Fuck me. So bad. So bad. I'm glad that the Gregster brought it up because it's a ridiculous fucking awkward. Nick, you're right. That is a Curb Your Enthusiasm level of awkwardness. Holy shit. Hey, you fucking idiot. I know you're watching this. Whatever. You don't say my fucking name. Can you get the fucking stories right? Is there any degree of showbiz in you whatsoever? You useless piece of shit twat. Fuck. God, are you terrible? You know, you're supposed to get better at these things as the years go on. The decline has been so rapid. Motherfuck, what a pile of shit. Ugh, shit. All right, well, anyway. What can you do? Linda says his memory is gone from all the pot. I don't think he smokes pot. I think he occasionally eats gummies. Isn't that right? I'm just giving you a warning. You might see in the background some movement back there. That is Darla. And I think she's going to start to chirp here. Like wanting to go outside. Nick says, did Bruce inspire the cover of Nine Inch Nails Hurt? If so, he deserved the paper smash. That cover stinks. Okay. All right, it's false alarm on Darla. I kind of want to see the specifics of the story about Bruce now. Because it's a great story. Bruce is a goddamn legend. If you had ever gone to, God, there's a record store near me, that local shop. What is it called? The Corner Record Store? Isn't that a place? I remember Bruce had been there. I don't know if he's still doing it. This dude is so great, though. All right. Okay, this is Bruce and Johnny Cash. Look how proud he is. He said, this would have been 1987. I think I saw Cash live 8 times, was backstage for 6 of them. This was at DeVos Hall in GR on his previous time through town about a year earlier. I had recorded to cassette and written out the lyrics to Elvis Costello's The Big Light, which I said to him, I thought this was perfectly written for him to do. On this trip, his management called the radio station to make sure I would be there because he had recorded it and he wanted to personally thank me. That night, he did the song and dedicated it to me in the show. Jesus Christ. The culmination of me giving him that song was that eventually, several years later, he did that song with Elvis Costello at the Royal Albert Hall in London. I also saw him do it on Austin City Limits. I also have the LP that it appeared on, which he signed. To Bruce, the song you gave me launched this album. Thanks, Johnny Cash. He was a special man, and I purchased a sheet of the new Johnny Cash Forever stamps yesterday, which came out this week. So I decided to scan this photo, and he wrote this 11 years ago. I love that guy. We always got along. I don't know if he'll appreciate me telling the infamous paper smash story. But whatever. Let's see. Bob loves the Johnny Cash version of Hurt. Jeremy says Corner Records is a great place. Vertigo Records downtown is also fantastic. Nick says about the Johnny Cash version of Hurt. The F it is sounded like an old man rambling. Reznor's version was brilliant. Well, whatever. I like them both. I'll let you two girls fight over it. All right. Murder lover Linda says, I'm sure Bruce is over it, unlike Freebird and Hot Wings. You mean like unlike... Well, you got to understand, Freebird and Hot Wings are going through fresh wounds right now. Like, they actually have a reason to be mad at me. The crucification of them on a weekly basis during Who Are These Freebeers? And these are people that are very, very sensitive. They do not respond well to this type of ball busting. I witnessed it for years. I made a living off of it. So you're going to get that type of that hurt feeling, beta male type of, you know, no one has thicker skin than me. If anybody gives me shit, I take it. You know, I don't have a problem with any of that. But them, me busting their balls, they don't like that. So, you know, I am much more offending to them than they are to me. So I can certainly understand why they would be butthurt. But that's totally cool. I don't give a shit. Ben and I are kicking off a Big Fraud Thursday this week at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Patreon, with a ridiculous, ridiculous bit that we need to get into on Who Are These Freebeers. Ben is taking a deep dive on the free beer aggressive attack on 2 7th grade boys. Greg told this story about how, I don't know, he didn't like the way the seventh graders' attitude was, so he got way, way shitty with them and treated these two children like shit. That would be his son, Henry, and Coleman's son. He picked these two kids up from school and, like, at the bus stop, and Greg wasn't happy with the fact that they weren't like kissing his ass or some shit. So he got so goddamn pissed off at him. Ben and I referenced it at the end of the last edition of Who Are These Freebeers. And we didn't have the clip because we didn't really know if it would kind of be a little too clumsy. But then after we talked about it ahead of time or talked about it, then we said, no, we got to do it. So because after I heard that clip, I immediately called Coleman and I go, dude, is your kid talking? Has he talked about this moment right here? He goes, no. I go, okay. Well, this asshole did this, this, and this, and then I sent him the clip.
Your Indiana Farm Bureau insurance agent is there to help guide you through each step of the insurance process.
Yeah, my agent's awesome. Jeff gives great advice, helps me figure things out. He's kind of like a dad to me.
Aw, that's great. Your agent
He's just got such a dad vibe, you know?
Sure. And your agent can...
I kind of want to get him a tie. I wish there was like an insurance agent's day or something, you know, because he's not really my dad.
Get to know an Indiana Farm Bureau insurance agent, and you'll never have to go it alone. Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance. Let's insurance together.
Greg is such a cock to these kids. Greg gets so wound up. He is such a thin-skinned fucking bitch that all it takes is a seventh grader doing seventh grade things to make him... Get out of the car! You walk home! Oh, he's such a cock. This guy is a piece of work, and he's getting worse. Such an asshole. My God. All right. Hey, Darla is begging me to go potty. I can see it right now, so I'm going to get ahead of this and take her. I apologize for the Monday interruption, but I'm going to throw it into intermission mode. All right? And then I'm going to take her out. And we have the live stream today on Twitch broken up into two parts because I've got the Q100 staff meeting at the top of the hour. So a lot going on today. Stick with me, though, because after I let her outside to go potty, we'll be back for more shows. So I'm not really going anywhere right now. I'm just throwing it into intermission mode. Hang tight, please. And I won't let the music run out, I swear. Ah, yes. Got that out of the way. If you don't mind, I'm going to bust through a few of my amazing sponsors that make this show possible. The open of the live stream brought to you by Frank Fuss, My Policy Shop Insurance. Now, if you are in between jobs... Or perhaps you're self-employed, or your employer does not offer you health care, you need to get your health care through the marketplace, known as Obamacare, or healthcare.gov, or the marketplace. To do that, you can easily just go to healthcare.gov and do it yourself, but it takes a while, it's a pain in the ass, and it's easy to mess up. I suggest you reaching out to Frank Fuss at buyinsurancehere.com. That's buyinsurancehere.com. This does not cost you a dime. He will walk you through every step and do it for you for free. And this is never going to cost you anything. Frank gets paid by insurance companies. So let's say when he's on healthcare.gov and he says, okay, you're single and you want this, this, and this. I can get you this policy from Blue Care Network. How does that sound? Sounds good. Well, when he signs you up for that Blue Care Network, they pay him. That's how he makes a living as a licensed independent insurance agent slash broker. So reach out to Frank at buyinsurancehere.com. If you need a vehicle repaired, go to Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. For 6 years plus, they've been a partner of mine. And I love them. Fantastic, locally owned, veteran-owned, female-owned business. 616-532-6600. People love that stuff. That doesn't matter to me. I mean, it's good to point out to you, because there are people that's like, shit, I'm going there because it's owned by a woman, goddammit. And that's great. 616-532-6600. I just love the way they fix my cars. Or help me keep them maintained, ervines.com, ervines.com. There's Grand Rapids Gold basketball this week. You got a game tonight, you got a game tomorrow, and then Friday is Flint Tropics night. It's been requested of your old pal EZ that I dress in 1970s gear. So I will be doing that for the Flint Tropics thing. Included in this game, taking a page from the film Semi-Pro. we will have Jackie Moon wrestling a bear at the game. Incredible. Now, truth be told, it is pro wrestler Jake Wilder. Here he is wrestling the bear. But it's a nod to the film, and you got to be there for it. That's coming up Friday. GrandRapidsGold.com. And if you like my post on my Facebook page, you can be in the running for a 4-pack of tickets to that show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, first off, I'm going to kick the folks out that are on Facebook and YouTube. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. The rest of the show is at twitch.tv/EricZaneLive. So you can get the whole show, the whole free show, uninterrupted. As you know, I do 2 shows a day. I do the free show and then a separate show on Patreon every single day. So free show, if you want it in its entirety, you go to Twitch. For the follow-up show, the Patreon bonus, you go to my Patreon, where we also have Who Are These Free Beers, the Lost Zane Recordings, and the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. That's at patreon.com/EricZane, patreon.com/EricZane. Sign up free for 7 days. All right. It is time to update the Fat-a-thon. Before we get to that, Linda says, how was Joe Martinez dressed up as a Paw Patrol character? Joe did not go. His daughter and his son went, and their 2 kids. So he says, I said, hey, how did they like Paw Patrol night? And he says, ay, 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 my daughter and my son-in-law went, and they were disappointed. There were no Paw Patrol characters there. Ay, ay, ay. And I said, fuckface, yes, there were. And I sent him like all these snapshots of kids with Paw Patrol characters. And I go, dude, they were in the concourse. Oh, Dios mio, senor. Oh, no. Ay, ay, ay. So sad, hombre. Oh, no. The fuck? All right. What was I going to talk about? Oh, Fat-a-thon. First of all, Nikki, she said she's not able to send it because the goat trimmers are there. I'm not sure what that means, to be a goat trimmer. Stand by. I got to take this phone call. All right. Disembodied voice. But not really, because you can see me. I'm back. The idea of goat trimming is being discussed because Nikki reached out and said, sorry, I haven't weighed in yet. The goat trimmers are here. I'll weigh in later and get back to you, which is totally cool. But I don't know if these are the ones that take care of their hooves or, like, trim their hair. Either way, that's a lot of work. My God. All right. Let us get to the task at hand, and that is updating Fat-a-thon right here, right now. Rebecca weighed in, and she is down, but not a lot, and I think it's kind of pissing her off. She says, easy, I am underwhelmed with my results this week, down 0.7 pounds. I thought it was going to be great between exercise and nutrition. Time to change it up a bit, she says. Looks like I'm starting the food journal today. Okay. All right. I'm not worried about you. Away you go. So you were at 286.6. She's now at 285.9 on her way to being 200 pounds. That's what she wants to weigh. And she is now down 9.1 pounds in 5 weeks. So she'll figure that out. I'm not too concerned. There you go. Amanda, so Nikki, we'll find out later. Rebecca, she's underwhelmed. Amanda, she regressed. She had a week that's not so good. I'll just read directly what she says. I had a setback this week. The unfortunate thing about is I knew it was coming. She writes, I let my diseases, depression, obesity, food addiction, control me instead of me controlling them. That's on me for sure, she adds. I spoke with my daughter yesterday, and I kind of had a come to Jesus moment. For 25 years, I have been keeping her and her animals alive before trying to keep myself alive. Okay. Now that I have this freedom of living completely by myself, I've been taking it for granted and doing whatever I want, thinking there are no consequences. Well, there are, because I do have these diseases, and if I don't want to, and if I don't get them under control, I won't stay alive. I've accomplished so much on my own that I don't want that to happen. So I start a new week with a fresh outlook and continue to treat my diseases as my doctors have prescribed me, and we'll see what happens next week. The opposite of a setback is a comeback. Happy Monday. She gained a pound. Okay. All right. So it sounds like, yeah, you got that identified, but I think there was something there that kind of stood out to me. Now that I have this freedom of living completely by myself, I've been taking it for granted and doing whatever I want, thinking there are no consequences. I don't know how that could be true, because you've lost weight. You dropped below 300 pounds. You had been down 17.4 pounds in 6 weeks. So I'm slightly confused by that. Unless you're referring to like black dick or something, which could be possible. Have you been getting tons of black dick and thinking there are no consequences to getting two in your dumper? But I don't know. Anyway, she gained 1 pound. So now she's just over 300. She went from 299.4 to 300.4. And she's none too happy about it. That means what was a 17.4 reduction in weight since she started 6 weeks ago is now a 16.4 reduction. Okay. All right. I don't know. It seems like if I could go and back to all your emails, you have these moments where you'll do that. It's almost like you're being, I sense a little bit of up and down type of mentality. And I think you got to shoot for, I mean, it's okay to be up, but not so abrupt, you know, more of a slope up and a slope down as opposed to peaks and valleys, I think will help you. And I don't know. I think it all boils down to just focusing on the minute at hand. What decisions are you making in the current, when you're currently sitting in front of whatever, that are going to help you ultimately? You gotta look at this minute by minute, hour by hour, instead of, you know, worry about today is what I'm getting at here. And you can do that, you know, get up 10 minutes earlier and cut up some fucking carrot sticks. This all goes around in your preparation, madam, in my opinion. Now, it's my job to simply just remind you of those things. Okay, so, I mean, I hear all these things you say, you know, we're going to make a comeback, all this stuff, but at the end of the day, the rubber still has to meet the road. You still have to do the work. And the quicker you just get through all the bullshit and focus on that, the more success you're going to have, in my opinion. But what do I know? I know enough that Jeremy has really taken to heart what I've been talking about with him for now the past 24 weeks. He's now 24 weeks into the fat-a-thon. And he called it. He said he was going to kick all the women's ass, and he did. He lost way more than everybody else. Now, Nikki hasn't weighed in yet, but he kicked your ass. And he wrote, I'm not going to allow women who are weaker than men beat me. That's what he said. He is down 3.4 pounds. He didn't say that one part. I was just kidding around about that, but now I sound like free beer. But I couldn't do it. And So that's incredible. He is now down 70.1 pounds. And he wrote an email that I want to read. Long email alert. By the way, when Jeremy weighs in, the scale is like it reflects back, and it hasn't happened yet. But I think there might be a time in the future when I see cock, because this is the scale, and then if you scroll down, there he is holding the phone, and there's his tummy. And if he just leans a little forward, we're going to see cock. And I can't wait. All right. Jeremy writes this. Easy. This week had me feeling really introspective. I'm officially minus 70. Over minus 70. I'm over halfway to my goal. And that's put a lot of thoughts into my tiny little pea brain. Sorry for the upcoming novel. Like I said weeks ago, these emails have kind of like been a diary for me. Excuse me, hang on. Easy, this has not been easy. Let me just jump in. Anything worth doing is never easy, you know? There have been times when I've wanted to order a barbecue chicken 8-quarter pizza from Jets and polish it off in one sitting. I've dealt with the loss of my father, the loss of a relationship, the loss of my dog, work drama, amongst many other things. Eating food was always the way I cope with my feelings because it always brought me comfort. Having a full stomach was always my happy feeling. But I've only caved to that a couple times. Even though all of my issues and through the holidays and the dreaded winter months where it's supposedly harder to lose weight, I've still dropped 70 pounds of fat. I've stuck to my plan. I've done it my way. And I'm incredibly proud of myself. Yeah, for people who don't know, I don't like give these people workouts and advice. All I do is just talk about them. It's fucking amazing. That's all you need for some folks. And then what I said was, and when it comes to losing the weight, figure it out for yourself. The world, it's never been easier to lose weight. The world is at your fingertips. You got to fucking try. And he obviously is, goddammit. Incredibly proud of myself. I used to say, sure, I've lost a lot, but I still have a long way to go. And I do still have a long way to go. But as of today, as of right now, I don't have as far to go as I've already come. You know what I mean? Or that's what he means. Not what I mean, what he means. I've already proven that I can lose 70. So I see that I have 65 to go, and I say to myself, I already did it. Let's do it again. Fucking great attitude. I think that the guy here on this, on our weight loss thing, I love the three women that are in it, but clearly Jeremy is the best right now. He gets the star on the blubber. All I'm getting this week from Team Bitch Patrol is excuses and going back to the woodshed to try again. And some may say that that is because they are the inferior gender. In fact, I would say 95% of people would agree with that. Not me. I do not agree with that at all. But it's very tough to try to make a case for our beloved women who are involved in the fat-a-thon when all I get from them is yap, yap, yap and excuses while the dude is just kicking their ass. You know, I mean, unless if Nikki has an outstanding week, there's hope for them. But as it stands right now, Jeremy has lost more weight than all of you. Hell, Amanda gained weight. That means that between Amanda and Rebecca, they've gained 0.3 pounds between two people. What a despicable effort on part of the women. And, you know, that's not even being mean. That's simply just looking at the math. Clearly, women don't get it. This week, at least. They have in the past, but I don't know. Could they perhaps be giving up because things are difficult? Well, it's tough to not think that, guys. Anyway, Jeremy writes, along with losing weight and adopting my cat, I've also taken up a new hobby, which has been very helpful for me. Pinball. Yes, like Tommy by The Who. I play the silver ball. It's gotten me out of the house more. I've met some really good people, and it gives me an outlet for my competitive spirit. It allows me to focus on something that isn't how hungry I am at any given moment, and my improvement there is arguably more impressive than my weight loss. Overall, I think my new hobby has improved my overall happiness and renewed my motivation for life in general. It's dorky, but I love it. And lastly, I want to thank you, Diana, and all of the chat members. All of you have provided me with the accountability that I've needed. I've done all of the work, which all of you have been so sweet and supportive of me on this journey, in air quotes. I needed people to be honest with me when I have had a bad week. I didn't need people to say, oh, that's okay. You'll get them next week when I put weight on. I needed to hear, what the fuck, man? You suck. Do better. So many people are so used to sugarcoating the words, and that's not what I need to hear. You all have been so helpful with your honesty and your motivational words, so thank you. I really do love and appreciate all of you, and I hope that I don't let you down anytime soon. Well, you're going to let me down if I don't see some cock. All right, so there you go. I am off to the workplace staff meeting right now. Rebecca writes, my parents didn't raise a bitch baby quitter. I'm going to finish this, Jeremy. I'm cheering you on and using you as a role model. Chris says, what chapter did he say how much he lost this week? He lost 3.4 pounds and he's down 70.1. Okay, I'll talk to you after the staff meeting. All right, and don't forget, Jeremy gets star on the blubber. Unless if Nikki beats him, she might beat him, but probably not because boys are better than girls. See you, bye. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.
Your Indiana Farm Bureau insurance agent is there to help guide you through each step of the insurance process.
Yeah, my agent's awesome. Jeff gives great advice, helps me figure things out. He's kind of like a dad to me.
Aw, that's great. Your agent
He's got such a dad vibe, you know?
Sure. And your agent can...
I kind of want to get him a tie. I wish there was like an insurance agent's day or something, you know, because he's not really my dad.
Get to know an Indiana Farm Bureau insurance agent, and you'll never have to go it alone. Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance. Let's insurance together.